Not by works of righteousness we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us. Amen. Well, I've been looking forward to being with you since I got the invitation to come. It's been a while since I was here, but I appreciate the invitation to come. I'm going to read some verses in 2 Timothy chapter 3, very familiar verses, and bring the message I feel the Lord has given me for this service. 2 Timothy chapter 3, and I'll read about 9 verses, and then we'll look at some of these verses for the subject. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. Without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, such turn away. For this sort are they that creep into houses and lead captive city women laden with sins, which drive away lust. Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. As Janes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobates concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be made manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. I'll stop with that verse 9, and I want to preach this morning from these verses on this subject. How it is, the way it will be, and what we're to do. Paul writes to Timothy and reminds Timothy that the days ahead are going to be troublesome times. So this verse first says, in the last days perilous time shall come. How true that is. But you think about the Word of God, you know, the Bible is more up to date than the morning news. So God told us a long time ago how it's going to be. And so we're not in the dark and we're not ignorant of where we are, how we are, and how it's going to be in this world. Some folks are confused about the outcome, but you and I are saved by the grace of God. We know very well that everything's going to work out for our good because of the good, marvelous grace of God. When I read the scripture and think about the Bible tells us that we need to be patient, need to wait and trust in the Lord because these are really troublesome days. First of all, we're going to look at this verse 1 in chapter 3 and notice what the Bible says, and that is, it talks about the last days. And we're in the last days. As a matter of fact, according to Hebrews, we've been in the last days ever since the Lord Jesus came. For in these last days, God has spoken to us through the Lord Jesus. That's been a long time. We were 2,000 years. But see, 1,000 years with the Lord is one day. And one day is 1,000 years. As far as the time schedule, God's eternal and God works in eternity. And God created time that you and I could live in time and also be saved and enjoy the good things of God in time. Don't ever take for granted you're living. And don't never take for granted the time you're living. Somebody said, I wish I could have lived in the days of Jesus. Well, you didn't. I wish I could have lived in the days of the Apostle Paul. Well, we didn't. David served his own generation. Did you know something today? That you and I that are saved, we're not an accident. That we're here on purpose. And we're here for a purpose. We're living in the time that God allotted for us. So we ought just to thank God and be thankful that God has allowed us to be living in the last days. I've been preaching a long time. And some of the things that I heard the old time preachers preach years ago, preaching the Word of God, I've seen them come to pass. I really have. Some of you have as well. You've seen them come to pass. The reason they came to pass is because they were truth. And truth will always come to pass. In this third chapter of 2 Timothy, the Bible said, in the last days, perilous times shall come. Dangerous times. Difficult times. And we're living in those days. Dangerous times. It's not safe in our society anymore. It's not safe in schools. It's not even safe in churches. Evil men, I'll deal with them in a moment. Evil people are demon possessed. And they are the ones that are causing all these perilous, dangerous, difficult times. No, it's not safe. In schools, it's not safe in churches, church buildings, not even safe out there on the highways. You never know. You never know what's coming your way. So Paul said to Timothy, now Timothy, I want you to be aware of how it's going to be in the last days. Perilous, dangerous, difficult times. Dark times. When I talk about being dark times, I'm talking about spiritual darkness. And we're living in a day of spiritual darkness. I believe today that demonic forces are working well in these last days. See, a lot of folks don't recognize that a lot of the evils and all of the things that are occurring in these last days, they don't recognize that it's of the devil. They just say, well, that's the way it is and it's happening. No, the devil is behind it. So Paul said to Timothy, now Timothy, I want you to be aware of the fact that the days will be perilous, dangerous, difficult, dark spiritually. And since that is true, also the last days are days of deception. Is that not true? We're living in days of deception. Perilous times. Dangerous times. Let me just read a few more of these verses in these days that we're living. The Bible said in verse 2 and 3 that they be lovers of themselves. That sounds like our day. Lovers of themselves. Proud, boasters, blasphemous, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection. Those are the days we're living. That's how it is. The reason that it's the way it is because that God told Paul to tell Timothy that it'd be this way, and that's the way it is. Lovers of pleasures. Then the Bible said they live for self. These days that are perilous, dangerous, difficult, dark days spiritually, men are in love with themselves, live for themselves and leave God out of their life. Now listen, they have a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. Religion. Think about religion. Religion is a dangerous thing without God. Religion also is a deceiving thing without God. Religion deceives people, and religion without God eventually, unless they come to the Lord Jesus and regenerated, they'll they be damned forever and forever. So think about, first of all, how it is. How is it? Perilous times, dangerous times, difficult times. We all know it. We're living in the midst of it. We know it's true. But secondly, let's look into verses and see why, not only how it is, but how it's going to be. Somebody might ask the question, are we having revival? No. Nationwide? No. Worldwide? No. Somebody said, well, the charismatics say that we're in revival. That's not the only lie they tell. We're not in revival. There'll never be a worldwide revival. Now, I can be revived, and you can be revived, and this church can be revived, but there's not going to be any worldwide revival. The days, as far as the society, are not going to get any better. Now, notice the Bible. They're just not going to get any better. We know how it is. Difficult times, dangerous times, perilous times, we're here. But is it going to get any better as far as the world system? Well, let's look at this next verse. It's down here in chapter 3, verse 13. The Bible said, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Timothy, the days are hard. They're going to get hard. Are they going to get better? No, evil men, seducers, shall wax worse and worse. It's not going to get any better. Notice what the Bible said. Not maybe it'll get worse, but evil men, seducers, shall wax worse and worse. And I'm not going to stop it. And you're not going to stop it. Years ago, the marble journey didn't stop it. We're not going to stop it. It's just that way. So we don't need to pretend that it isn't. And we don't need to, in other words, roll over and play dead. We're to be alert, be alarmed, and be active in these days that you and I are living. How is it? Perilous times. How is it going to be? Evil men, seducers, will wax worse and worse. The Lord Jesus made this statement in Luke's Gospel, chapter 17. Concerning the last days, our Lord said that it'll be this way. As it was in the days of Noah, even so shall it be in the day of the coming of the Son of Man. As it was in the days of Lot, even so shall it be in the day of the coming of the Son of Man. Now we know very well about those days. We read about them in the book of Genesis. The days of Noah. The Bible said in Noah's days, man's heart was evil continually. God raised up Noah. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah preached. By the way, you ever notice that Noah was a Bible preacher? He wasn't on a hobby horse. He preached judgment's coming. God's going to send a flood. But also, while he's preaching that judgment and preaching the floods are coming, he's preparing an ark He is balanced. Preached judgment, and also he preached salvation. We live in days you won't hear much preaching on judgment. But Noah preached on judgment. Noah preached salvation for 120 years, I believe. Noah was faithful in preaching. God raised him up. And God said to Noah, who found grace in his eyes, I want you to prepare an ark. And Noah did exactly what the Lord said. But in spite of all that Noah did, man's heart was evil continually. And only Noah and his family got in the ark. Now you would have thought that they would have believed, but they didn't. And God allowed Noah, in his long suffering, to preach to that generation, but they didn't want God. They didn't want God's way. Now if Noah had offered them some brand of religion, they'd have probably jumped on the bandwagon and left shouting hallelujah. But Noah told them the truth. He built an ark. In those days, the Bible said, as it was in the days of Noah, even so should it be in the day of the coming of the Son of Man. They were eating, drinking, marrying, giving in marriage, and knew not until the flood came and carried them all away. Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. That's the way it'll be in the last days, he said. Our Lord said, as it was in the days of Noah, they're going to be pleasure lovers. Also, they're going to be people that do not want God. Now, here's the thing about it, folks. In order to go to heaven, you got to want to go. In order to go to heaven, you got to want salvation more than life itself. I believe that. Don't you believe that? Our Lord says it was in the days of Noah. Even so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. Eating, drinking, marrying, giving in marriage, and knew not until the flood came and carried them all away. When that first drop of water fell, it was over. My spirit will not always strive with man. One of these days the Lord's will come in the rapture. When our Lord comes, for those who have heard the gospel, know the truth, know they need the Savior, put it off, rejected it, when the Lord comes, there won't be any second chance. When God closes that door, it's closed. And the Bible said, Noah didn't close that door. The Lord closed the door. And God closed that door, and Noah and them was inside, and that wicked generation outside. And Noah and his family were secure in that ark. You know that ark was type of Jesus, don't you? For God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. As Noah preached to those people, as Jesus preached to the people, the door's wide open. The invitation's given. Whosoever will, let him come and drink of the water of life freely. But some said, we will not have it. And God closed the door. Our Lord says it was in the days of Noah. Even so shall it be in the day of the coming of the Son of Man. It's going to get worse and worse and worse. Did you know something? I think that you see it. I see it. Somebody asked the question, why it is that we don't see revival spirits we did 35, 40 years ago? We don't see people walking aisles, repenting of their sins, and putting their faith in Jesus for salvation? Why is it? We're in the last days. Perilous times. Dark times spiritually. Men are lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Having a form of godliness, yes. Denying the power thereof. As it was in the days of Lot. Even so shall it be in the day of the coming of the Son of Man. What about the days of Lot? You read the Bible, you know about the days of Lot. The days of Lot were days really of prosperity. They're prospering well. As it was in the days of Lot, the Bible said that they were buying, selling, building, rebuilding. The economy was real good. And a lot of folks feel like if the economy is all right, then God's bound to be with us. Not necessarily. It was doing well in Lot's time. But days of Lot were days of not only pleasure lovers, but days of perversion. Is that true in our day? I made a statement earlier. I heard old timers preach the Word of God and preach the truth, and they preached that what would come in these last days, it wasn't happening then, but it's happening now. I've lived to see, and some of you have lived to see, the Bible fulfilled concerning perversion. Now let me make a statement. I want you to listen. It doesn't matter what the Democrats think about it. It doesn't matter what some Republicans might think about it. It doesn't matter about what some preachers in religion say about it. God hates homosexuality. Always has. Always will. And God burned Sodom and Gomorrah to the ground. And the Bible said He'll do the same to those who live ungodly after them. Hey, there are no Christian homosexuals. There are no people who call themselves gays saved. If one of them is caught up in that vice and therefore led that way and really repents and get born again, he won't brag about what he's been. He won't write a book about what he's been. He'll be so ashamed of it. And my friend, he wouldn't mention it in public. You didn't say amen. See, a lot of these fellows say, I was gay, I was homosexual. I want you to know I'll come to your church and give my testimony and tell how God delivered me. Hogwash. I want to write a book on it. No. If they really were caught up in that bias and therefore got saved by the grace of God, they will not be wanting to broadcast it. You're welcome. What about it? How is it? Perilous times. How is it going to be? Worse and worse and worse. Politically and religiously. So, you know that's true. You know that's true. In other words, we're living in days when evil men, seducers, waxing worse in the political arena. In the religious arena. That's true. We're seeing that on a large scale tonight. This morning. We're seeing it. When you think about how that evil men, seducers are waxing worse and worse, politically, religiously, you see it in politics. Yeah, you do. I make statements, folks don't like it, but I think I'm right. I believe this morning that the Democratic Party has the curse of God on them. Now the reason I believe that is because God told Abraham, the founder of that Jewish nation, those that bless thee, I'll bless, and those that curse thee, I'll curse, and any denomination will take God off of their platform and therefore endorse and also pass laws, in other words, for homosexuality, same-sex marriage, they got the curse of God on them. Okay. So I don't think y'all are saying anything. I've done said it. Wicked men, evil men, seducers. And also, there's some mixed up in the Republican Party. Evil. Okay. But you know something? Evil men seducers not only waxing worse and worse politically, but also religiously. Religion. Well, I see religion and you see religion. And I already said religion without God is, dangerous, deceiving. But I see religion flourishing. By the way, it's supposed to. According to the Bible, there's going to be a one world religion, a one world government. It's going to flourish. They're going to get together. And during the great days of the great tribulation, they'll be together until that political system gets tired of that religious system riding upon them. And the political system will destroy that religious system with fire. But it's going to happen. But we won't be here. We that are saved by the grace of God will be gone. But it's going to happen. We're living in days when there's corruption in religion. Years ago, now some frown on this, but I know where I'm coming from, and I've been around a while. I remember years ago, the Southern Baptist Convention was called the largest Baptist denomination in the world. You know what they're called now? The largest Protestant denomination in the world. They went out from us because they were not of us. If they had been of us, they would remain with us, and they went out from us to make manifest they were not all of us. Say amen. Now that's my next point. How is it? How is it going to be? Well, what are you and I to do? Are we to play dead? Give up? Throw our hands up, quit. Say, what's the use? Let's read that verse 14. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, as being assured of knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Timothy, days are going to get hard. Timothy, they're not going to get any better. But you just continue. Being steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Occupied till I come. Don't cow down. Don't compromise. Don't give up. Don't give in. Continue. That's what God says to you and I. Preachers and churches of the Lord, continue. Sure, we're in hard times. Sure, the dark days. Sure, the difficult times. Sure, it's going to get worse and worse. But God left you and I here on purpose, for a purpose, and we're to be good soldiers of the cross. We're not to lay the armor down. We're not to, my friend, lay the sword down. We're to fight the good fight of faith. Timothy, be a good soldier. Endure hardness as a good soldier, Timothy. Don't give up. God's grace is sufficient. God will take care of it. God will give you all you need. Now, what am I to do? What are you to do? Continue in the things I have learned. Well, I wonder what Timothy learned. Well, the Bible said in this next verse, and from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. So we need to continue in Bible salvation. We don't need to water it down, soft pedal it, try to get a number. We don't need to water it down, soft pedal it to try to get so many in the baptistry. We don't need to water it down and soft pedal it that we might impress people. Preach the word, vincent in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. Continue in Bible salvation. We're living in days when a lot of Baptist preachers are afraid of repentance. Years ago, they preached it. You'll repent or you'll perish. You'll turn or you'll burn. You got to change your mind about sin. You got to change your mind about self. You're going to change your mind about God. Repentance. Repentance is not reformation. Repentance is not a work of salvation. Repentance is a work of God. And therefore, the Bible teaches that we ought to stay with it, continue in the things which we have learned and of whom we have known them, and that is preach repentance toward God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Timothy, continue. It's not going to be popular. Folks won't like it. Some won't endure it. Some will turn their ears from the truth and the fables. But Timothy, you just keep on continuing. In the Scripture, Bible salvation, that's what got you saved. Your grandmother and your mother taught you the Word of God. One day Paul came to town and preached. You got converted. Where'd you get that, Timothy? Because your grandmother and your mother continued in the faith and taught you, and therefore you are saved because that they stayed with Bible salvation. Don't give up. Don't quit concerning Bible salvation. And also, these are hard times, difficult times. It's going to get worse as far as the political, religious, society. What am I to do? Stay with Bible salvation. Also, Bible separation. That's a touchy subject. In Baptist churches, that's touchy. If you preach on Bible separation and Bible standards, the first thing in other words, they call you a legalist. That you do not love people. That you have no compassion. But this Bible does teach Bible separation. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. Come out from among them and touch not the unclean thing. Love not the world, neither things in the world. For all in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. Are you hearing me? We live in days when, boy, that's frowned on. Bible separation, Bible standards. I go to churches all the time in my area. A lot of Southern Baptists around me. I know some folks don't appreciate me saying it, but I see them go in. The girls have got their tight blue jeans on. The men got their knee shorts on. Women going in with their low-cut dresses. No standards. No Bible separation. Don't be intimidated by the world and the devil because you've got some Bible convictions and Bible standards and Bible separations. Continue in the things thou hast learned from those that taught you about Bible salvation, about Bible separation and Bible standards. Don't give up in these days. Continue in the things which thou hast learned. And remember, you learned them. These liberals and modernists, they don't care to think about you and your family. Think about those that preached to you, taught you, loved you. Moms and dads, grandmothers, granddads, faithful pastors, faithful preachers. Continue. I could preach a long time on that. Bible salvation. Concerning Bible separation. Concerning service in the Lord. You know, I see a lot of Baptists in and out. Up and down. You see Baptists like that? Can't depend on them. Have you ever noticed these people's always got an excuse not to come to church? But they go to Walmart. They go to ball games. They go to social gatherings. But when it comes church time, they just feel so bad. Now, I want to say something to you. A lot of folks get devil itis on the Lord's Day. But they feel real good on Monday. God wants you and I to be steadfast, unmovable, faithful, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. And people need to stop making excuses. I talked to Philly a while back. I told him, I said, be honest with me. Don't come to me with those excuses. Just tell me the reason you're not coming. So they make excuses. Well, here's this fellow. Here's where he was. He works. He's got a job. He goes to work about midnight. Gets back home about 2. But he don't have to work on the weekend. But his excuse is, I got to get up so early Monday. But I've noticed that if he wants to go somewhere else and lay out, it doesn't bother him. Now, you say you're meddling. I'm just telling you that we're living in days when people are making excuses, backing off, giving up, and think that God is pleased with it. Oh, Timothy, days are going to be dark, dangerous. It's not going to get better. Young man, it's not going to get better. I know where you are at Ephesus. Alexander did me much evil. But you just keep on keeping on, continuing down the things I was learned. That's what we're going to do. That's what we're going to do. Let me say this to you as I come to a close. Look up. Your redemption's drawing nigh. Set your mind and affections on things above and not on the things of the earth. Look up. We're not losers. We're winners. Hey, we're not going down. We're going up. We're not going under. We're going over. How you know? Because the Bible tells me so. Isn't it wonderful to be saved? Isn't it wonderful to know? Listen, the Bible tells you how to be saved. The Bible tells you how to know you are saved. And the Bible tells you how to live saved. See, a lot of folks got the ideal that the Bible tells you how to be saved, but you really can't know. Oh, yes, it tells you how to know. For these things have I written unto you that you may know. And I'm not saved because of feeling. And I'm not saved on my emotions. Sometimes they're good, sometimes they're not. Sometimes I feel saved, sometimes I don't. Now, don't frown on that. But you know why I'm saved? I believe the Bible. I believe the facts. I got a witness in me. And a word, a witness before me. And my record's on high. And I know in whom I believed, and I am persuaded that He's able to keep that I've committed unto Him against that day. It's wonderful to be saved. Sure, these are hard times, but praise God, you can still rejoice. Sure, they're going to get worse and worse, but as you look forward and say, I know it's going to be that way, but God's promised me liberty, God's promised me victory, God's promised me I'll overcome. Lift your head up. Look up. We've got a great high priest in heaven, the Lord Jesus. He's a praying for us, standing with us. Don't let the old devil intimidate you. How is it? Perilous times. Well, how's it going to be? Evil men seducers going to watch worse and worse. Well, now what am I going to do? Fold my hands? Sit down? Stop going to church? Stop reading my Bible? Stop praying? Stop praising God? Stop preaching? What am I going to do? I want God, He will, help me to continue in the things that I've learned. And but assured of knowing. Amen. Hey, folks are depending on us. I heard a fellow say the other day, and I understood where he was coming from. He said, God doesn't need us. I understand what he's saying. But God does need us. If God didn't need you, you wouldn't be here. If God didn't need us, he'd have stuck us to heaven when he saved us. We're to be a light in a dark world. We are epistles read of all men. So always remember this. You're special. God's got you here on purpose and for a purpose. So just continue. Let's stand our feet.